Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Maybe you've seen this graphic. It's also printed in your bulletin. And maybe you've seen this that helps explain the Trinity. One God, yet three persons. The Father is fully and always God. The Son is fully and always God. The Holy Spirit is fully and always God. But the Father is not the Son, nor the Holy Spirit. The Son is not the Holy Spirit. Three distinct persons. One God. And it's right here in our text from Matthew, as Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Got it? Understand the Trinity? Yeah, me neither. I can't understand who God is. And neither can you. The Trinity is far beyond our comprehension. We can say the words. We can picture it. But we cannot fully grasp the mystery of three persons, yet one God. We can't wrap our heads around the essence and relationship involved in our God as the Trinity. We try really hard. Maybe you've heard this illustration, water. Water can be liquid. It can be frozen as ice. It can be heated, and when it's heated, it becomes steam. Yet, in each state, it's still H2O, 3-in-1. However, the analogy, helpful in some ways, fails in one critical way. You can't have ice and water and steam, liquid water. You can't have all three at the same time. You either have steam, or you have ice, or water is liquid. But the Father is always God. Never is there a time He is not God. The Son is always God. Never is a time He is not God. The Holy Spirit is always God. There never is a time He is not God. All three persons are always fully God at the same time. What about this one? And this is one that I've actually used, and I shouldn't have, but it works when you do a children's message. And you get an apple as a way of describing the Trinity. You have the outer peel, and then you have the inner core, and then you have the meaty center. One apple, and yet you have three parts. But again, this fails. It's helpful in some ways. But the peel is only part of the apple. The core is only a part of the apple. The meaty center, that tasty part that everybody loves when they just throw away the peel and the core, is part of the apple. The Father is always completely God, all the time. He is not just a part of God. He's not one-third of God. The Son is God completely. The Holy Spirit is completely. All of them are not just a third of God. Are you beginning to see how even our best attempts to grasp the mystery of the Trinity fall short? That's only the start of it. Go back to our Old Testament reading for this morning. It's the account of God creating everything. And did you catch the possible reference to the Trinity in verse 26? Let us make man in our image. And now consider how impossible it is to comprehend our God in all His power, all His majesty, all His immensity. And to think about that, think about the Hubble telescope. And that telescope has sent us back pictures of the universe beyond our planet. And if you've seen those pictures, they have a tendency to boggle the mind. We can see distant, far-off galaxies, and now astronomers estimate the observable universe contains 2 trillion galaxies. Now remember from science class that light travels at 186,000 miles per second, about 6 trillion miles in a year. It would take over 158,000 light years to reach even one of our closest galaxies. The universe is about 9 billion light years in diameter, and it expands even further and further every minute that we're sitting here in church. Now, why did I bring that up? Not to boggle your mind with science. Not because I'm a huge Star Trek fan, and I talk about light speed all the time, going to warp. And Dawn's nodding her head like, yeah, he talks too much about it. I do it because, very simply, our God is so far beyond us. We've just barely scratched the surface of who He is. We've just barely scratched the surface of what He can do. Kind of like the universe. We can't wrap our minds around that, just like we can't wrap our minds around God. But He's revealed Himself to us in the Father, in the Son, in the Holy Spirit, 3 in 1, the Trinity. We believe this. We just use the Athanasian Creed to confess this. Even if He's far beyond our comprehension, we confess it. And thankfully, our triune God isn't only beyond us. He's also with us. The very last promise that Jesus gives us in our gospel reading today from Matthew, those last words of our text, He says, "Behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age." And with that promise, everything changes. He's no longer merely the distant, too big to know God. We know Him as God. We know Him as the one who comes to you, the one who is, the one who was, the one who will be, and will always be with you. Now let's go back to the beginning of Matthew's gospel, Matthew chapter 1. An angel appears to Joseph in a dream, and he tells him he must not divorce Mary, even though she is with child. Instead, Joseph is to give the baby a very special name, Jesus. He's to give this name because this is a child who will grow up to save his people from sin. An angel reveals to Joseph with Jesus a prophecy will be fulfilled. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. God in all power, immensity, majesty, He becomes one of you. He becomes fully human. The Father sends His Son, conceived by the Holy Spirit, and the small child in Mary's arms is now God with us, God with you. A fulfillment of prophecy. Now jump ahead 30 years. Jesus appears to John in the Jordan. John is baptizing. People have come to him in repentance. He looks up. He sees Jesus is wading into the water. He resists baptizing Jesus. He says, "I need to be baptized by you, and you come to me?" But Jesus insists. He says he needs to fulfill all righteousness. So John scoops up the water, and the Father's voice booms down from heaven. "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." The Holy Spirit lands on Jesus in the form of the dove. We see the Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And yet, why is Jesus in that water? Why does he need to be baptized? He's taking his stand with you. He won't be separated from you. He is already standing beside you. Has always been standing beside you. His righteousness, his sinless life, the purity of his mission to save you will all be accomplished as he begins his public ministry to live up to his name. Jesus, right from the start, is saving his people from sin. Now, jump ahead 3 more years. Jesus hangs on a cross. He's taken on himself anything and everything that would keep you distant from God. He takes your punishment. He takes the agony of your sin, the sorrow of death, even the horrors of hell, which is the complete separation from God. In a mystery beyond our understanding, Jesus, the Son of God, goes through hellish abandonment when he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? What we deserve, Jesus serves. And you're promised eternal life. Always with your triune God. Because what happens next boggles the mind. Jesus rises from the dead on Easter morning, victorious over death, conquered sin that leads to the grave, he's crushed the powers of hell. Never again will the evil forces make any claim on him. He is given all authority. He will never leave you. He will always be close to you. As the Apostle Peter says in his sermon from Acts, our reading this morning, Jesus, God raised up, and all we are witnesses, being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he was poured out this that you receive, yourselves are seeing and hearing. In this we believe because we are baptized into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, just as Jesus told the apostles to do in his text. Just as we saw happening again here this morning. When the water was scooped up and poured over you, when that water was scooped up and poured over George this morning, when those precious words were spoken along with your name, his name, he and you were brought into the eternal presence of the triune God. Sins forgiven. Your sins forgiven. George Mitchell's sins are now forgiven. Jesus living up to his name as you are saved from sin. Prophecy fulfilled. The God who is beyond us is now the God with you always, saving, raising you up to eternal life. And Jesus speaks about making disciples by baptizing and teaching all he has commanded. He says, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all I have commanded you. Just as we turn baptizing into his name, into being baptized into his name, so here we turn teaching into learning all he has commanded. But how does this happen? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit works through the Word of God, whether in Bible class or through a sermon or a devotion that you read or a podcast or a radio message or a hymn you hear on the radio, whatever, wherever God's Word is taught, the Holy Spirit works in you to teach you what Jesus has said and what he has done. You know, in the early morning, and I did that just again this morning before I came here to church, I get up and I walk the dogs. We have 3, so it takes a little bit of time. But these days, the sun is just newly risen. And this morning especially, the air is clean, it's crisp. I can hear the birds singing, and I imagine they're praising the Creator God. Otherwise, everything is quiet, it's peaceful. No one else seems to be up. For whatever reason, I get up before everybody else. Then normally a prayer comes from my lips. Part of those prayers echo David's words from Psalm 8. Our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. I'm praising God for the beauty of His creation, gift of life, the purpose of work that I've been called to, all other daily bread that He has placed in my life, And in a way, hallowing His name, the name that I was baptized into. One who brings this to mind from within me is the Holy Spirit. He works in me to teach me, to shape me, to form me, to nurture me, transform me into a disciple who has learned what Jesus has spoken to His disciples. You see what happened with that walk with the dogs? Creation that once was so immense beyond me has now become a moment of praise. Praise for the Father who creates such beauty in the world. Praise to the Son, the one who is always. And to the Holy Spirit, the one who teaches me what Jesus has done for me. We won't grasp the mystery of the Trinity, although we confess it whenever we confess whichever creed we use on Sunday, whether it's the Athanasian, the Nicene, or the Apostles. We won't comprehend just how majestic, how immense God truly is, but we believe He is always with us. He is always with you. He is the living Lord. We won't understand how He's three persons, yet still one God. But we learn what He's done for you, the promise that He has made for you. While the mystery of the Trinity is beyond us, your Creator is always, will always be present with you through His Son. We'll be with you through the sanctifying gifts of the Holy Spirit. Will be with you now, today, and always. In His name, the name above all names, the triune name, the only holy name by which He is made and through which we are saved. Amen. And now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.